Today is the final Sunday of the season of Epiphany. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we begin the season of Lent, where Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. The word Epiphany means showing, unveiling, pulling back the veil between heaven and earth, the shining of the light of Christ onto all of our lives. And every Sunday in the season of Epiphany, we have heard about a showing, an unveiling, a time in which the miracle of Christ's presence was made known to us. And today, on this final Sunday of the season of Epiphany, we hear of the greatest of all the showings. Today, we hear about what happened on the mountain of the Transfiguration. Many, many years after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, Peter will write a letter to churches all around the area, and he will describe what happened on that very holy day. You see, Peter and James and John had been called by Jesus to follow him, and they had left behind everything in their lives, their livelihoods, their families. They had walked beside Jesus. They had heard Jesus teach. They had seen him do miracles. They had slept next to him. They had eaten with him. And it was about halfway through Jesus's ministry when, for some reason that we will never understand, Jesus chooses only three of the 12 disciples. He chooses Peter and James and John and says, "You alone, the three of you, I want you to come with me." And together they climbed up not just a mountain, but Matthew says, a high mountain. I didn't know there were low ones. They get up to the top of this mountain and they start praying with Jesus. And this is where the showing happens, where the veil is pulled back. The disciples are gazing at Jesus and they see that he starts to radiate light. Artists all over the world, in all the major religions, have often depicted the very holiest of people when they pray or meditate as radiating light. We see halos, we see shining faces. So Jesus starts to radiate the light of God, but not only that, there appears on Jesus's right and left sides Moses and Elijah, the prophets of old. Why them? Well, think about it for a minute. Both Moses and Elijah experienced the very presence of God in an unveiling on a high mountain. In fact, Moses' face glowed so much after he encountered God that he had to cover his face with a veil because he scared people. And Elijah experienced God in the sound. Many translations have called it the still small voice, but the Hebrew is more like the sound of eloquent silence. Silence. Moses and Elijah lived hundreds of years apart from one another. It would be like if I was standing here and all of a sudden, let's say I was praying for this country and George Washington appeared on one side and Abraham Lincoln on the other. Now, I don't think this would be me here. It'd be someone much more important, but they were hundreds of years apart, these two prophets. So Jesus was transcending time. He was dwelling in eternity, and they could see it. And not only were these two prophets with him, but they were having a conversation. Now, Matthew does not tell us what they were talking about. Oh, I would love to have heard it, wouldn't you? But my feeling is that these prophets were telling Jesus how he was going to die. Because up until this point in the Gospels, Jesus doesn't really refer to his death. But after this event, he seems to be heading towards the cross with a greater understanding of what was going to unfold. They were telling Jesus what he was going to have to do to save all of us, to build the kingdom of heaven on earth. And they're having this cosmic conversation, and Peter, sometimes I think we should call the Gospels Jesus and the Dunderheads. Because here's Peter, and this amazing cosmic event is happening, and what does he do? He starts worrying, just like us. He starts trying to take things into his own hands, trying to control the situation. He loves it. It's beautiful. So he decides that he's going to make three little houses, one for each of them, so they can just stay there forever. And the worst part, it's okay that he starts fixing everything in his head, but then he blurts it out, and he interrupts their cosmic conversation and says, Lord, this is awesome. I think we should build three dwelling places, one for you over here and one for Moses over there. And God has to come down in a cloud and say, this is my son. Listen. Listen to him. And that presence of God in the cloud is so overwhelming that the disciples fall down and they're terrified. They can't stand the brightness. They're shaking. And the next thing they know, Jesus is touching Peter on the shoulder and says, don't be afraid. Just get up. The disciples look around and it's just Jesus again. But isn't that just like us? When things are really good or really bad, we tend to think it's up to us to fix everything. And what do we end up doing? We end up distracting ourselves from God's purposes. Today we celebrate the anniversary of a beautiful poem written by James Weldon Johnson in 1900, Lift Every Voice and Sing. James Weldon Johnson, as you know, was born here in Jacksonville. But what you may not know is that his mother, Helen Louise Dillett, was an opera singer in New York City. She came down to Jacksonville, and she came to this very cathedral where she sang for one Sunday with this choir. And evidently, she had a gorgeous voice. But she was the only black person in this congregation. And after that Sunday, they asked her not to come back again. And James Weldon Johnson's mother would never set foot in an Episcopal church again. God forgive us. But she didn't stop believing in Jesus, and neither did her son. And he would become a great leader in this country and head of the NAACP and the first black professor at New York University. But it wasn't his actions that defined him over these years. Today, what we remember is not so much what he did, but this beautiful poem that he wrote. Because when he wanted to know what God was asking of him, James Weldon Johnson wouldn't get busy, he would get quiet. He would look for that moment of transfiguration, that peace with God. And in that time of prayer, he wrote poems. And this poem, "Lift Every Voice and Sing," it's a vision of the kingdom of heaven. And our mission statement here at the cathedral, as followers of Jesus, we seek to build the kingdom of heaven on earth. Well, James Weldon Johnson, in this hymn, he says, "Lift every voice," just like we in our Eucharistic prayer say, "Lift up your hearts." Lift every voice, every voice, every color, every nationality, every citizen and immigrant and refugee, every socioeconomic class, everyone on this earth, lift up your voice and sing. James Weldon Johnson had a vision, and we haven't yet achieved it here in Jacksonville or in this country by any means. And we're never going to get there if we keep trying to fix things ourselves. Desmond Tutu said it so well. In the midst of the apartheid regime, he said, "The harder things are and the more you have to do, the more you have to pray." Mother Teresa, seeing people dying on the streets of Calcutta from disease and neglect, what did she do? She got quieter. And she prayed more. And she said, "I look at God and God looks at me. And I am a pencil in the hand of God." You see, we are pencils in the hand of God. We are disciples. We are asked to follow. God has made you specifically for a purpose, to be born right here and right now, to be living here in Jacksonville, and each of you has a job to do. But it is not your job to fix everything, or to build houses for everybody, or to interrupt the conversation that God is having. What you do, you may not even see the results of in this life. It may not be for generations to come. What is your song? What is the poem of your heart that God wants to sing through you? That is the question. If you want to find it, then begin by finding the quietest place and do just what God said. Listen. We talk too much. We say everything we feel like saying on social media all the time, and we're always yelling at each other. That's not going to do any good. True transformation, true transfiguration happens from a place of calm, from the eye of the storm, from the height of the mountaintops where we stand in the presence of God. That is where we're transformed. That is where we're given the work that God calls each one of us to do, no more and no less than your holy and God-given work. Today, as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, I've invited two amazing AME pastors to be with us, Reverend Yvette and Reverend Atticus. They are going to stand on either side of Father Mark, just the three of them. And I want you to think about the transfiguration, and I want you to picture those three up there together, and I want you to see a vision of the kingdom of heaven where all different kinds of people are praising God and singing together. Because that is what God is calling us to build, that vision. And it begins every time we pray. For when we pray, we plug into the source. Amen.